So welcome back to Pax Europiana, the podcast about peace. I hope you enjoyed the talk with Professor Nagel. It was very interesting about European Kadaster. Now we are talking, and I will, it's a very turbulent time about the Czech Republic and the Russian-Czech crisis. This is really highly dramatic events. And the most important, I think it will be a transformational crisis of European-Russian relations because of the huge impact it is already having. Now it's today, the evening of the 22nd of April. Today, and the Czech Republic has expelled no less than 60 diplomats and told them to leave by the end of the month. Yeah, so that's quite a dramatic move. There's already 20 diplomats from the Czech Republic arriving back into the Czech Republic from Russia. They were expelled as well. But, you know, you can say, you know, some more or some less diplomats, but it had huge economic implications now. And this is really one of the most important decisions. It's the end of Rosatom in the Czech Republic and in the involvement in Dukovany. Dukovany is the second power block next to Temelin of the Czech Republic, obviously inherited from the Soviet times. And the Russians are now the key supplier of the nuclear industry of the Czech Republic. I hope that also the Czech Republic, ČEZ is the big company, the state-owned energy company, they will also stop all cooperation with Rosatom, also the supply of nuclear fuel. And because I'm the uranium supply, I'm already calling since months now. That's the logical way. Let's have a free trade agreement with Australia. Let's buy the uranium from Canada. There's other suppliers in the world. It's not all uranium coming from Russia. Kazakhstan has also uranium. Now the Czechs have made their first big important step. That is end of Russian Rosatom being involved in a primary stage of the extension of Dukovany. But that can only be the first step. No to Russian uranium in the European Union or in EU accession. The same also for Ukraine, Bulgaria, Slovenia and Slovakia. No Russian technology in the European Union in nuclear area and no Russian nuclear supplies. And here comes obviously the most important two projects which Russia is doing under its export nuclear offensive of the last decade. And that's the so-called Pax, nothing to do with my podcast. It's not about peace, it's about war. This is this terrible Pax project, 10 billion Russian funded in the center of Hungary. And this is definitely has to stop. And also in Finland, very up in the north, they have this other. It has a very bizarre name. I have to check one moment. Hanhikivi. Okay, good. My Finnish is not very good. Bear with me. Hanhikivi is in the very much between Sweden and Finland. In the northern part, there's this location. And, you know, we can enter a lot of debates about if you like nuclear power or not. Everybody has a different opinion. But countries in Europe, we have this kind of freedom. Some like it. Fine for me. I don't want to impose my nuclear preferences on Finland and on Hungary. And we shouldn't also not cut ourselves with a knife into the foot that we don't allow the EIP to take over nuclear power plants. Because here the Austrian anti-nuclear extremism comes very, very badly and is actually serving Russian interests again. Because the logic thing is, if Finland and Hungary work now with Rosatom, we should not allow that anymore. Make a clear decision. This Hanhikivi and Pax, they should be taken over by the European Investment Bank. And Russia obviously compensated. We are not at war. We cannot expropriate this project. The Russian involvement, Russian funding. So let's take it over by the European Investment Bank. Anyhow, I understand some of the countries will not really like that. But what is better? Russia, the Russian state, Putin directly funding and building and providing and securing and operating nuclear power in the European Union or the European Investment Bank? And if you think for Russia, and or you are so extremely against nuclear power that the EU that has nothing to do, but they exist. Pax exist, and Honey Kiwi exists. Yeah, they are going to be operational, and Russia will run them. It's the Russian state running this kind of dangerous nuclear facilities. And do you want it? Why not having it Europeanized? I think it's much better. We have French or South Korean or American technology, but it should be operated by the European Union better than the Russian state. I'm for privatization, don't get me wrong. It's also maybe better not to have them at all. You know, fine. But now they exist and now these projects are there. And something, even it's necessary for the climate target of the EU because of the end of coal, which everybody insists is so important, then some countries, but they can only do it with nuclear. That's a other debate. For me, the strategic security of Europe and our unity and the exclusion of Russian state companies is the most important. And here, the Czechs have sent the example. But it's just the beginning of what we should do. We need a major rollback of Rosatom in the European Union, in the import of uranium and uranium fuels and other nuclear material, and obviously of these two nuclear power stations in Finland and in Hungary, and all the other nuclear industry in Europe where Rosatom is a subcontractor, a supplier, a provider of technology, or a funding agent. And this is all to stop. I'm not totally sure how much the cooperation and how deep the cooperation between Slovenia, Bulgaria, and Slovakia, and these are the three candidates, and Ukraine is to this moment. To my best knowledge, the Ukrainians went intensively to transform the nuclear dependency. They have four nuclear stations, and they have these are very big ones, and Ukraine is a major producer of nuclear energy. And they were very dependent on Russian supplies, but they have reversed it to some extent. In some areas, obviously, that was difficult. But maybe now this is the moment also the Ukrainians to really go fully west in the nuclear area or to do it with their own technology, but really to significantly reduce the nuclear grip of the ex-Soviet Union of Russia, which it has inherited from the Soviet Union, and all these terrible kind of Chernobyl-style disasters were in the making. No, 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 Honey Kiwi, no Pax, whatever is the name. No, no, no. And obviously also no to this nuclear power station in Belarus. That's also one of the sour points. But obviously we have not a single power to change that. Yeah, that's basically the Russians and the Belarusians have created that terrible fact. And there will be no way until there will be a democratic Belarus to change that. So we can focus on the Finnish project, on the Hungarian project. And we can make sure that there is no supplies of uranium in Europe. And I'm sure there's uranium, to my best knowledge, in Congo, in Kazakhstan, Australia, in Canada, in America. There will be other suppliers as well. And so we can achieve nuclear independence from Russia. And that should be our prime strategic objective now in this year, 2021. Climate change, very important, but let's be honest, nuclear independence from hostile Russia, much more important. And now with this major groundbreaking, game-changing decision of the Czech Republic to end Russian involvement in Dukovany, then I think it's the signal to end Rosatom in the whole European Union. It's also a question about solidarity, because now we send diplomats home. The Russians will certainly retaliate. And the Slovaks have now also sent three Russian diplomats back to Russia. And most of the European countries, step by step, the major appeasers have just taken three times to express solidarity on Twitter with the Czech Republic. But most of them have now, to my best knowledge. And the point is, what we need to do now is also concrete things. and concrete actions, like the Czechs have done it with the end of this multi-billion project participation for Rosatom. That is a language they understand. One diplomat more or less in one office more or less will not impress Putin very much. The end of nuclear imports into the Czech Republic from Russia, that will make a major impact, and that's what we should do. And the same in all European Union and accession states, no nuclear imports, no nuclear technology by Russia in the European Union and in Ukraine and in whatever, there's other countries too. They might have also nuclear contacts with Russia. And obviously, in such a kind of escalation we are at the moment, we should not do it. And what's the meaning of Dukovany? And I refer now to this important discussion about Nord Stream 2 as well. The Czechs have shown that you can have courage and you can do the right thing and you can end projects. And there's other alternatives there as well. And so the same, what Dukovany is now for the Czech Republic, must be for Austria the end of Nord Stream 2. And if we have some honor in Austria, and if we are somehow serious country, we can order the Austrian OMV, that's our state energy and gas, not monopoly, but basically monopoly, a key partner of Gazprom since 50 years, and also a key partner of this Nord Stream 2 project. The Austrian OMV CEO is basically the spokesperson of Nord Stream 2 and the best friend of Gerhard Schröder, Vanek, and obviously Sigi Wolf, and all these pro-Russian industrialists and energy managers of this German, Austrian, around Volkswagen and all these connections, yeah, Niedersachsen, and you know who I'm talking. So what is important, that Austrian state is now repeating the Czech success model, what the Czechs have done in Dukovany, kick out Rosatom, we have to do by the ordering the Austrian state company OMV to leave the consortium funding Nord Stream 2, and so starting the withdrawal of the international consortium, which is backed by the Austrian state for Nord Stream 2. And so basically end this project, while I hope that Austria will do that. And I hope that also the Finland will do it, because it's also a prime partner. Again, you see, this is the typical neutral problem, because and these neutral countries, Finland and Austria, and they obviously inherited these huge energy links with Russia from the Cold War times. And then Russia uses Finland and Austria as a kind of soft belly of the European Union. And for too long, that had worked very well for the Russian interest. We need now to make it clear that this is no longer continuing. Obviously, the Austrian role is also competing now in Hungary. It's probably the most pro-Russian country in the European Union today. I made a Twitter poll and most of the people agreed that it's Hungary, which is the prime tool of Russian coercion and influence in the European Union. So what is needed to be done? We need, first of all, then to make it clear that Austria is broken out of this supporting alliance of Nord Stream 2. And that can be relatively easy done with the help of the United Emirates. And they are co-owners of this OMV company, but also with massive American intervention. Because now the government is tweeting every day that Austria is a strategic partner of America. So Sebastian Kurz seems to be really interested in American partnership, at least as his tweet policy. So here is the leverage. First of all, the Arab Emirates. Secondly, obviously, the Americans via Kurz. There is significant links. And also the German Greens have to intervene heavily with the Austrian Greens, because the German Greens are against Nord Stream 2 and the Austrian Greens are in favor for coalition loyalty or for conviction, or they also have some links with Russia maybe because they are a very left-wing party. I don't know exactly what is the strategic reason, because honestly, with a straight face, to repeat these things which Merkel says that Nord Stream 2 is good for fighting climate change. I mean, this nobody would say that in Austria, I think, because the Austrian Greens would not go to that extreme. Yeah, because obviously, climate change, you need nuclear, and when you want to be serious, and that obviously the Austrians don't want. So it's a bit confusing, yeah, the Austrian position. It's maybe the dominance of OMV, the monetary interest of Russia in Austria. I don't know exactly all these links which connect the Austrian politics with Russia, that nobody can know all of them. But more and more it will come out what is the effects. But I think still, when you see that Merkel is so adamantly for Nord Stream 2, basically for this appeasement factor and for her promise in the battlefields of Minsk, and Delbert Seve in the Ukrainian war to allow this Russian project, because Schröder certainly intervened to soften Putin, to stop his tanks, and that is the back channel she has towards Putin, and she is using that all the time. So she feels she is kind of legally obliged or kind of morally obliged to finish this project for her coalition partners' links to Russia, basically. That's quite obvious. So I think she will not change it, and she hopes to finish the project before the election and keep it out of the German federal elections now in September, which will not work. I'm sure that will be one of the dominating issues in the Nord Stream 2, because the Americans have ultimately decided to really go fully into this project and to stop it. So it will be the big topic, no doubt about it, with this escalation in Ukraine, with the troop amassment, with the Czech crisis, also some Bulgarian Russian crisis is also looming. And so we have, I think this will be the dominant topic of the whole election campaign. And so I think the Germans won't change their position in this constellation. So the Austrians are the weak underbelly, and Austria could change. It's possible. It needs, because the German Greens have some influence on the Austrian Greens, and that could work. And obviously also some moral pressure and some kind of straight-face climate debate that more Russian gas cannot really help the CO2 reduction targets, obviously. I think that everybody will understand. And also they are really very serious with this kind of transformation towards e-mobility and public transport. So in some ways, there might be now this climate leadership of Joe Biden extremely helpful to make some points towards the Austrian Greens. And obviously then to have this Russian-Austrian relation tackled directly by the Americans. Nobody else will be able to do that. And so with the help of this minority shareholder from the United Arab Emirates, it might be possible to break out Austria, OMV, out of this. Maybe BlackRock can help as well. Maybe some American pressure on them. They are also shareholders of OMV. So that could be one strategy to make sure that the success of Dukovany is then translated in the end of Nord Stream 2. But step by step, it might be also, you know, the Austrians are always very interested in the safer nuclear energy or no nuclear energy in the Czech Republic, Hungary and Slovakia and Slovenia, because all our neighbor and Croatia, all our neighboring countries have nuclear power stations, which are always very controversial perceived in Austria. So maybe there is some movement here in complex negotiations with the Austrian infrastructure and energy minister, Mr. Gewessler. She might be ready for some movement if the overall conditions are met. Let's see. The Austrians are certainly the weak link on that one, and maybe there will be some good movement. I will think about it, what I can propose, and I will keep you posted on that one. But nevertheless, let's celebrate that Rosatom had a major defeat. I think that's really something wonderful and something really historic in some sense. After a decade and a half of inroads of Rosatom, or 12 years since the start of the Second Cold War, Rosatom really very successful, somehow reconnecting the nuclear Soviet heritage with modern Russia under Putin with this new instrument of Rosatom. And they have been making significant inroads. And now the trend is reversed. And it is questionable what actually took the Czechs so long, now for 7 years, but they also have a big struggle about their Russian policy in the Czech Republic, it seems, since 2014. And now, seemingly, it is that the anti-Russian, anti-Putin forces have won. And so this report about their bomb attack and this assassination and this kind of poisoning of this Bulgarian Czech weapons dealer and all these explosions of 2014 has seemingly changed the tide there. But let's obviously hope that they will go all in terms of breaking the Czech-Rosatom ties, because there is extensive bilateral ties still happening today. And that would be very good for the EU internal market, for our nuclear security, and also for something I think is absolutely a priority, to end the Russian nuclear power grip in the Eastern European countries. That's a legacy of the Cold War, of the Soviet domination. Why to keep it? I think it's time to end it. And Dukovany's end, the end of Rosatom in Dukovany should be the signal that now in the next year, Russian power grip is phased out in all Eastern Europe. I think that should be one of our main strategic targets now in this energy debate for 2021 and 2022. Let's see where we get. I will keep you posted the moment I hear something new. But this was really amazing breaking news. I just learned it was 2 days ago, and I think it has a major impact on European energy policy. And we should now make the best of it, spread the news, and whatever you can do, wherever you are, please focus to stop the Hungarian-Russian power plant, the nuclear project Pax, and this honey kiwi project in Finland must be stopped before it even starts, because they want to start building soon, and it should definitely stop, never exist, or transformed towards Westinghouse or EDF. A European or American power plant, that is the rational thing to do. And Finland, by the way, joined NATO, Austria as well. And let's be a bit more united and a bit more smarter in the European Union in the coming weeks and days. And all the solidarity possible to our Czech friends. I'm very proud about you. It's really very good what you're doing. But do more. Go all in. This is the absolutely amazing Czech Republic, NATO member. Yeah, could join the Euro, by the way. But I will make a specific podcast in the coming days about the Czech Republic, because I love the country very much. There's also some difficulties, but this is now, you are very dear to my heart. Bravo, Czech Republic. Excellent. Well done. A breakthrough for Europe. And more to come, I hope, in this distancing from Russian aggression and a nuclear power grip on the Czech Republic and on Eastern Europe. Bravo, Czech Republic. Thanks a lot.